Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman radio show as we proceed this week with discussing some of the importance and increasingly vital things that are happening across the world that are of importance to Bible prophecy. And so we proceed and tell you that while we were away last Friday, a number of things happened. I am with Evangelist John Paul Akena and Derek Mureva. While we were away after the last Wednesday's recording, a few things happened in the world that would be of interest to us. And maybe Akena will tell us what are some of those things.
The one which is hot on the plate right now is the Iranian attack on Saturday night on Israel. The attack came from, of course, Iran, because we had expected that Iran would actually, when they are responding to the time when Israel attacked Syria and their base, their embassy in Syria, that response, we thought the response would come from their proxies, as they have always used to. But right now, they actually got bold to attack straight from Iran. As well, some attacks came from, of course, their proxies from Syria, from Iraq as well. So that is the first thing which is hot on our plate today.
And Derek, the thing is, 99% of the missiles that were sent to Israel were intercepted mid-air.
Yes.
And by America, but also by Israel.
Yes.
Because where the American ships were, they were intercepting there.
Yes.
But also by Israel and their Iron Dome technology and all that.
Yes.
And Iran should have known that that would happen. Yes. But what I found interesting is soon after they finished, they went to the UN and declared that now we have finished, we are not going to attack Israel any longer, and we should just as if let things go. Basically, it was almost like Iran was pleading for Israel to let things slide and go on, which means, which for me shows that they were under pressure after Israel had bombed the building adjacent to the embassy in Damascus and killed 7 of their generals, most of whom were actually the people who were connecting Iran with their proxy forces, the Hezbollah, Hamas, and Houthis, and so on, and Islamic Jihad. But and now Israel policy towards their enemies has shifted a bit. Previously, they used to bomb the military installments, the launchers, military installments, and especially the places where the missiles were being manufactured. That was their policy. But now they seem to be targeting the people who are involved in doing it, and now they are going for human personnel.
Yes.
And so that's what that bombing was about. But it looks for me that Iran were under pressure not to appear weak in front of their people. So they had to do something, and they did something, but they didn't want it to escalate into a real war. So they did something which they knew would cause minimum damage, because they anticipated, of course, that their missile would be intercepted. But it's good enough to tell their base that, you see, Israel cannot just bomb us and get away with it.
Yes.
But not good enough to hurt Israel, in their opinion, enough for Israel to want to now come for them. And then there is the war between Iran and Israel. What do you think?
I agree, because the pressure was so much on Iran to actually do something after Israel's bombing of the consulate. So much so that 3 days before they actually went out and attacked, they had already warned two groups of people. First of all, they warned the neighbors and said, we are going to do something in a short while, just be ready. Then the second group is they warned the allies of Israel. And so exactly three days before the conflict, rather Iran launches the, you know, the missiles, US says, we are certain of an attack from Iran, you know, and Israel itself now also comes out and says, if Iran launches any missiles from its soil, that was very specific for me, because it said, if Iran launches any missiles from its soil, we will retaliate. And Iran did exactly that. So it seems Iran, like you've said, after it ran to the UN, it had already prepared, you know, it already warned, you know, in diplomatic language, we're going to get embarrassed. So we're going to do something, but be prepared.
Yes.
Retaliate, but you know, you understand. So And I mean, even the time it takes for the missiles to reach, it would take hours.
Yes.
And no wonder, 3 days before still, the US and the UK moved their, you know, the bombers.
Yes.
They moved them strategically. Positioned them.
To intercept.
To intercept, yes. Which means they knew what was coming, only that they didn't tell the world. So I agree that the pressure was so much, but what remains is, shall we see a response from Israel?
Now, that's where the big question is.
In addition to that also, is that Saudi Arabia actually went and warned, told US that Iran is going to attack. As well, they participated in the interception of some of those missiles which were coming from Iran. So they went and warned Israel, yes, but also they warned America that Iran is fueling something and bringing up something. So the question right now, which everyone has been anticipating for, is that, is Israel going to retaliate? Are they going to actually launch their attack and respond to?
Now, that's the issue. The issue is that Iran says they were retaliating to what Israel did,
yeah,
by bombing their consulate in or near their consulate, really, in Damascus. But Israel says that they are not the ones who drew the first blood, because Iran has been using their proxies.
Yes.
And in any case, the people who died in that bombing were people who were plotting to go and increase the coordination between,
yes,
Iran and their proxy forces,
yes,
for the purpose of attacking Israel. So Israel was doing a preemptive strike, in their opinion.
Yes.
But Iran doesn't see it that way, and neither do the Iranian people. Now, the question is that does Israel now retaliate, as you've asked? And there are two things here. Number one, Israel has always, always maintained that you attack them, they attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been their style.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not relent on it, first and foremost. But secondly, they should know for sure that if they attack Iran directly from Israel,
yeah,
we could be staring in the eyes of a third world war.
Yes.
Because first of all, today, a report in Washington Post says that Russia has admitted providing Iran with fighter jets and an air defense technology that can help Tehran strengthen its defenses, mm, against any air attack by Israel or the United States.
Mm.
And they claim that this is according to American intelligence sources. No, you see that if Israel go for Iran,
yes, mm-hmm,
suddenly Russia comes on the side of,
yes,
Iran,
yes,
possibly even China,
yes,
on the side of, mm-hmm, Iran. And God knows who else. Definitely Turkey on the side of Iran.
Yes.
Now, if that happens, we are definitely looking at the Gog and Magog.
Yes.
Because that's how it is described, yes, in the Bible.
Yes.
Those are the countries actually that are described in the Bible.
Mm.
If Israel retaliates.
Mm.
If they do not retaliate, then it looks like they will have gone against so many years of a policy of retaliation.
Mm.
Question is, do they not?
Well, for me, first, yes, of all, I actually... it was interesting to see how Iran is at the forefront of begging Israel not to retaliate.
Yes.
Because even on the night of
yes,
the attack, for example, to show that Iran had already done due diligence, you know, to tell Israel not to retaliate, at midnight on Saturday, Israel closed its airspace. Then 2 hours later, now the drones started to arrive. Like, it gave them time, you know, allowed you to intercept.
Yes.
Don't, please don't, you know,
yes,
respond.
Yeah, but
you know?
In all truth, I don't know, maybe Israel should not retaliate, because Iran were just trying to appease their base,
yes,
and show they are not weak, that they just come and hammer your generals and you keep quiet. Yes.
And that's the message I believe they were sending. They were just saying, you know, we don't want to look weak. You just allow,
yeah,
you know.
So
after all, you've intercepted them. They have not hit anything.
Yeah,
anything.
And then I heard their president going and saying that we did not hit any trading centers, we did not hit any, you know, commercial,
yeah,
centers.
Mm.
Basically saying that we caused no damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are you angry?
Yes.
So again, do they not?
It is still on the balance right now, because what we are seeing, because on the very night when Israel received all these missiles coming from Iran, there was actually a go-ahead to the IDF, Israel Defense Force, to actually retaliate. But what happened is, they did not. And eventually, later on, I think on Sunday, the war cabinet met, and they were actually asking whether they should. Now, I think on Monday, when the war cabinet met again, I think around 2 p.m., they actually okayed that let there be a retaliation. So, and then that base, which military base of Israel, which was actually received some damage from the ballistic missiles, the chief of staff of the defense force of Israel went there. And when he went there, he was saying that this will actually be responded to. So now, in my own calculation and view and analysis, I'm just seeing that what is going to happen is either Israel will launch back, but first they will launch back through all these Iranian bases, which are in Syria, in Lebanon, and all that, to first also show, because today as well, there's actually come out that Iran has evacuated their one of their bases there in Syria. So that is a focal point for Israel to actually target. Or if not, then what will happen is, not attacking the proxies, they will go straight to Iran, and actually they will, because Iran closed their the base where they had been actually manufacturing all these nuclear. So they closed it on Monday, and they have just opened it on Wednesday morning. And for them, they were actually like scared that that would be a place where if Israel retaliate, that would be the first place.
Okay. Yes. What I found interesting is Saudi Arabia acknowledging helping defend Israel against Iran.
Yes.
That's according to Jerusalem Post.
Yes.
And this falls very well into what the scripture says.
Yes.
Because it says they will come against Israel, but one will turn against the other.
Yes.
And it's talking about mostly these Islamic countries.
Yes.
And Saudi Arabia doesn't seem to be in line, in step with what Iran is, because they have their own issue. They are, as we've spoken here before, previously, they have their own differences. The Shia and the Shia, of course, being Iran, and the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia. So now the fact that Saudi Arabia sees Iran as a worse devil than Israel is very, very interesting.
Yes.
And it's just interesting, by the way.
Even Jordan also intercepted
some. So now Jordan is also on the side of Israel.
Yes.
Now this is becoming a bit of a jamboree.
Yes.
I don't know where it's heading. But anyway, in light of whether Israel will respond or not, and whether we are looking at a third world war or not, US, France, and Germany urge their people to immediately leave Iran. That is a sign that maybe they believe something could be happening.
Yes.
Because now they're telling everybody to leave Iran.
Yes.
And if US and France and Germany, those ones should know exactly what's happening. But maybe they're also just, you know, being cautious. Qatar is also banning all its air flights from flying in Iran.
Yes.
Because you could be landing in Iran and Israeli missiles
coming and
speeding up your landing.
Yes. adding to that one, even Norway has actually told all its citizens to leave Iran and not to go to Iran. That's Norway.
Okay.
Yes.
So now you see that it looks like there is almost an
expectation.
An expectation of something happening. Benjamin Netanyahu has summoned all leaders of the opposition for a special update, not just the main opposition, but all the smaller parties as well, except the Arab parties and the progressive left-wing parties.
Yes.
Now, interesting is that, because of course he can't trust the progressive left-wing wingers because they are dealing with Obama and all the other clowns.
Now, and the Arabs.
And he can't trust the Arabs because of course they will always link what happens in that. But calling all the other parties, because now it looks like they want to make a decision that he does not want to make as himself, just as it was in going to attack Gaza, where they formed the Israeli war cabinet.
Yes.
And all the others were involved in it, so that somebody doesn't come out and say I was against it and so on. Even the opposition people were involved in making those decisions.
Yeah.
So, Derek,
yes.
Does this mean that there definitely is going to be a retaliation?
I believe there will be some kind of retaliation because, like you've said, it's a historical fact. When you touch Israel, it will touch you back. And I believe, first of all, that when Israel launched that attack against those commanders at the in Damascus, I believe it knew that there would be a response from Iran. And one of the struggles of Israel has always been to prove on the world stage that Iran is actually the one behind all of the wars that it is, you know, currently fighting by proxy. And Iran has always denied, we're not the ones behind, you know, all these small groups. Yeah. But now Israel got its grand opportunity to prove to the world that, you see what we've been telling you,
yes.
Iran is the one. Mm. Now it has drawn, you know, first blood, and we are going to retaliate. Now, that's why I'm not surprised the whole world is begging Israel not to actually attack, because now it is clear Israel really wants to do something. And I think it will do something.
Yes. And adding to that, there is on Sunday, because Saturday night, that was the night when they received the missiles, ballistic missile drones and all that.
Mm.
But on Sunday, Benjamin Netanyahu has been not responding to all the calls which were coming from international presidents and all these other. He has just left the phone. He only spoke with one person, which was Biden. And Biden was telling him that for us, we are not going to involve ourselves in your response, but we are just, of course, he fears Iran, because Iran warned US that once you involve yourself in their attack or a response with Israel, we are going to attack all your bases here in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So now in his speech with Netanyahu, he said that you just consider your ways in quotes, and for us, we are not going to be part of you.
Yeah, apparently he said that we shall not help any, the US will not help any offensive against Iran.
Yes.
However, if there is somewhere where Israel needs to defend itself, they might help. But I don't know how that is. But anyway, the Italian embassy in Iran says its consular section will remain closed in Tehran until further notice. So it looks like almost everybody is walking in fear that Israel is going to do something. And the Israel Air Force has finished preparing for an attack on Iran, according to some news outlets in Jerusalem. And as you said earlier, Akeda, that on April 14th, when the Iranian attacks happened, Israel had already prepared itself to attack Iran.
Yeah.
But then they decided to postpone that.
Yeah.
It could be because they've maybe decided they shouldn't, or maybe because they just want it to be more comprehensive and they are preparing for it to be something better planned. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyhow, the chief of staff of the Nevatim base said that we are considering our steps, and this launch of so many missiles, cruise missiles and drones into the territory of the state of Israel will be met with a response. Then he says it's official, Israel will respond soon. How official is that?
Yes.
I'm still thinking they might be calling the bluff.
Yes.
They might not respond.
Yes.
Because there is the whole world is trying to tell them, do not respond.
Do not, yes.
Because this is going to escalate.
Yes.
And it will escalate.
Yes.
But then also, on the other hand, Iran has been isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Jordan, if Saudi Arabia, and all these, a few of the other Muslim countries
are staying away,
as either staying away or even supporting Israel, as Saudi Arabia did in defending Israel, then Iran is not going to have the support they think they are going to have from other, you know, Muslim countries. And then maybe they will count on, you know, on Russian support.
Yes.
But Russia will also be very reluctant to get into this. They might provide them with some equipment and so on.
Yeah.
But they'll be very reluctant. But another reason Iran would not want this war to go on is because they are in the process of building their nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And if Israel retaliates, the first thing they are going to go for, and even in the scriptures, somewhere in, I think, Jeremiah 49, the first place they are going to go for is that place which has the Iranian nuclear weapons, which they have spent a lot of money trying to build, and they have collected a lot of uranium and enriched it, and they will soon be, according to so many estimates, they will soon have a nuclear weapon. So now is not the time for them to attack Israel, because Israel will not throw missiles in Tehran somewhere where people are drinking coffee and tea. No, they will go for the Iranian bases,
yes.
The Iranian nuclear facility,
yes.
and disable it and take them back almost 20 years in building yes. that weapon. So Iran does not want this war. That's very
yes.
clear.
Yes.
The timing of it is not good whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they might also have other considerations, because depending on who is the next president of America,
mm-hmm.
Iran will not be, if for instance Trump comes and is president again, Iran will not be in position to launch any, even to support any of these proxies.
No.
Because they started supporting all their proxies after Biden released money yes. for them.
Mm.
So actually it's America which is responsible, because they are funding yes. both sides. They are funding
yes.
Iran, they are funding Israel,
yes.
they are funding Hamas, they are funding
yes.
Israel.
Yes.
So basically the American war machine
yes.
is interested in having wars go on.
Yes.
And they are fomenting wars and making sure wars don't go. Because when Russia attacked Ukraine,
yes.
they attacked Ukraine with only 45,000 soldiers,
mm-hmm.
a country of so many million people.
Yes.
Which means they were not interested in it being
yes.
actually a full-blown
yes.
war.
Yes.
And they still have not been until
mm-hmm.
only recently, when Ukraine started actually using, you know, very heavy artillery, which they are getting from America
yes.
and from Europe. Russia was trying to minimize, because these are brethren.
Yes.
These are their brethren, and
yes.
they are, you know, trying to make sure they get control of those some facilities there,
yes.
which the Americans are interested in. Now, even the annexation of Crimea.
Yes.
You see, because these are things which people do not get to ever know.
Mm.
The annexation of Crimea was made necessary when America went and forced a coup in Ukraine
yes.
in 2014.
14, yes.
When they took off a president who was democratically elected,
mm.
that was Obama.
Yes.
And they took off a president who was democratically elected.
Mm.
Why? Because he was leaning towards Russia.
Yes.
He was pro-Russia.
Yes.
They took him off. They effect Obama, of course, George Soros and all his friends. They effect some kind of demonstration. The guy was taken off. They brought on somebody who is their
mm.
person.
Mm.
And he cut off Ukraine's leaning towards Russia. But now what that meant is that the only port, the only warm seaport
mm.
that Russia was using to bring their goods
mm.
by sea was in Crimea.
Yes.
Which Crimea was part of Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Now, when Ukraine became hostile
mm.
and the Americans wanted to take it over, Putin said, we cannot
allow this to happen.
We cannot allow this to happen
yes.
because then the Americans can cut off
mm.
our access to the sea and so on.
Yes.
So they had to go and take over Crimea.
Yes.
And of course, when Putin wants something, he goes and does it. And I remember that time he went, for the first time in so many years, went to the UN General Assembly
mm-hmm.
and had a private meeting with Obama.
Yes.
And he speculated that he told him that if you dare touch our Ukraine, we are going into full-blown war.
Yes.
Now, those people want proxy wars. They don't
yes.
want full-blown
no.
wars. So anyhow, that was led to pass.
Yes.
So all this has been fomented by America.
Mm.
It is all the Democrats
yes.
in America. When Trump was president, there were no wars.
No.
And Trump has said it before, there would be no need for Russia to attack Ukraine if he was president.
Yes.
First of all, he would not be supporting Ukraine at the rate at which America is supporting them.
Mm.
Neither would any of the NATO allies. Because
yes.
Ukraine is not even a part of NATO and will not be, will never
yes.
be.
Mm.
And then he has also said there is a clear way out, because Ukraine has, Russia has always said, we can negotiate. There is a clear way out. All we want is for Ukraine to say they are not going to join NATO. And then the war ends. And Ukraine is not going to join NATO. It's not going to happen. But America doesn't want it. Why? Because they want to steal money from their tax bases and take it back. You know, this is all a whole money thing. Because it's the same people who invest in the military industrial complex, who the companies which make ammunition, who want these wars, because they send money to Ukraine to buy ammunition. Ukraine buys
from
ammunition
them.
From American companies with American money.
Yes.
And then the money comes from the tax bases of the American taxpayer into the hands of a few people. Especially BlackRock.
Mm.
BlackRock is the biggest investment company in the pharmaceuticals. They're the ones who mess up even all the pharmaceutical industry in pharmaceuticals, in military industrial complex. So this is all a whole jamboree of things, and it is fomented by the Democrats in America.
Yes.
Now, all the world would be a much safer place if the Republicans take over in America.
Yes.
That I'm sure of.
Very well.
Because when Obama, or rather when Trump cut off Iran's funding,
yes.
And Iran had no money.
Yes.
They stopped supporting Hezbollah.
Yes.
They stopped supporting Hamas.
Yes.
They stopped supporting the Houthis because they need
there was no money.
There was no money.
Yes.
But as soon as Biden came and released more money to them, they went straight for supporting those things, and they are coming for Israel.
Yes. The 10 billion like last year, and then this year the six. Last year 6 billion, then this year $10 billion. So all that has actually made them progress in their nuclear facility, building it very well, and actually increasing. Because once Trump did that nuclear deal in 2015, what happened is there was no money for their progress into their nuclear facilities. So they actually, they dwindled and they stopped. But immediately Biden came, they started building it forth through the, of course, the money which they received from oil, selling oil and all the petroleum. Because even what Trump did is, he actually stifled them very well to the point that they couldn't get profits from both their business of selling oil, the economy of selling oil, and then as well, not giving them money. So that made them add a very big setback. Then, once Biden came back, what happened is they had the Liberty, and even now they got that more money coming in through oil, and then as well that nuclear deal was
revived.
And
then he gave them $6 billion for releasing American hostages.
Yes. Now, all that gave them... Now, from last year, it was estimated that now it will take them 6 weeks only to make them come up with a nuclear like
now that's tool. Why I believe, Derek, that Israel has to attack.
Yes.
Because they have said it before. If Iran comes to a place where they are going to have a nuclear weapon, Israel will have no choice, according to them, but to attack. Because they know the minute Iran has a nuclear weapon, they are going to be targeting Israel. And Israel says they will use their own nuclear weapons if they have to. If there is an existential threat. And of course, that existential threat is going to come in the form of Iran.
Yeah.
So don't you think that that makes almost Israel retaliation inevitable?
Yeah, I believe it does. And Iran has actually already warned that if Israel retaliates, it is going to mount its missiles with nuclear weapons, which of course is a bluff because everyone knows it has not yet arrived there. However, it might mean that it might either get them from somewhere, from an ally,
maybe North Korea also.
Yeah, or that it might somehow, arm the missile with maybe from Russia. Also, yes, that's possible. But I think right now Israel is distracted from its main objective, which is to get hostages back. You know, this Iran thing, how I see it retaliating, it might of course first, because some of the rockets were launched from Iraq and Syria. So I think those will be the first ones to suffer.
Yes.
But then it will work backwards towards Iran, and it might choose to strike the base from which many of these things came from, but not to now go into what Ezekiel says, that I will, take the ball or hit the ball, that is in your hand. Yeah. So I think it will definitely retaliate because I think it has achieved its greatest goal in proving that Iran is the mask is off now. Yeah. Iran is the one behind. And now we must,
Like the British Foreign Minister, David Cameron, says that it is clear that Israel has decided to respond to the Iranian attack. Then he says, if Israel counterattack triggers another round of Iranian missiles and drones, American warplane vessels will once again come to Israel's defense.
What I'm also looking at is, what kind of retaliation will Israel mount? Because if it mounts, the retaliation we're looking for in the scripture is the nuclear one.
Yes.
It doesn't have to use nuclear. Mm. It only has to go and bomb Iranian nuclear. Israel is not yet going to use their nuclear weapons.
Mm.
There is no need for them because Iran does not have nuclear. And now that's why you said they are bluffing, saying that they are going to launch, load their missiles with nuclear weapons. They haven't reached there yet.
Yes.
But Israel can go and bomb the factory,
the facility
that is creating, that is very, very, very advanced in creating that nuclear weapon, and then disarm Iran, perhaps for the next 10 or 15 years in that regard. Then afterwards, they said they would also be bombing. They have said this before. They have said this. They'll also be going for the oil fields to disable Iran financially. So that they are disabled financially and they are disabled in regard to rebuilding the building nuclear weapons. Then they can sit back and relax, because now that means the people who have been funding, who have been funded by Iran, will become broke.
Yes.
Hamas will have no money. And Israel has said it before, hit the head of the snake. Hamas will have no money, the Houthis will have no money, Hezbollah will have no money, because all of them are getting money from Iran.
And also, there's something you spoke about last week's recording, radio show, that looking at all, because we're actually talking about this same possible attack, retaliation from Iran last week. And then you said, looking at all the calendars, the timeline of the church, the timeline of as well, what is happening in all the Bible prophecy and end time, relating it with the end time. And you said that looking at all those, it's not yet time for that. And I think if Israel is attacking right now, what will happen is it will do just that which you have said, like attacking the oil fields and the oil wells, and then as well the nuclear facility, and actually cripple Iran for like 15 years, which would give us, relating it to the church, it will extend the Gog and Magog war to another later year. Because right now it looks like it can just escalate in a month, in a week, any time. But when they do that, it will actually cripple Iran for some good years, which will take them longer time, as well giving time for other Bible prophecies, like the dominion of the church and the church to arise. And actually, I'm just seeing a time balance.
Yeah. I see what you're trying to say.
Yes.
I see what you're trying to say. I think it makes sense, because the timeline for the church, because if this Gog and Magog war happens, then we have to be very close to the rapture. And I don't think it is time yet, because there are some other things that have to be accomplished by the church before we get to that point. So maybe Israel retaliation to Iran might help it a bit. And now Iran, the shocking bit, Derek, is they are running out of allies. Because they would think the entirety of the Islamic world would come behind them. They are not. They are not, because they are Shia, and they are very few. Shia Muslims are only 15%. And looks like the Sunni Muslims seem to prefer Israel to Iran. And Saudi Arabia itself is, they've had their differences. I remember when so many people died in the Hijra pilgrimage. Iran was very critical of Saudi Arabia and how they handled, we lost our citizens there and so on. And they were very, very, very critical of Saudi Arabia. So they've had their differences in that regard. So now the fact that Saudi Arabia is actually intercepting missiles from Iran in defense of Israel, now that really makes the whole, the whole thing complex. Because now the differences between the Shia and the Sunni are becoming pronounced, and this falls perfectly well. But the Gog and Magog war, I think we'll have to wait a bit, but we don't know how much longer.
I agree, because which is why I was saying that the kind of retaliation we're looking for is the one of Ezekiel 39, which has the nuclear component in it, but which is now not there, is absent. And so we can be confident that regardless which choice Israel takes in terms of retaliation, the church still has, what I see the church doing now is actually reading the signs and knowing that, because the scripture says that in Luke 21:38, that when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near, which is what you're saying, that the church still has a lot to do. That there is a part that we still have to play, which we have not yet really arrived at, and which is for me primarily why the Gog and Magog war will have to wait.
Okay, moving away from that, what else is happening in the world?
Australia has actually come out and said that they are going to, by 2030, they'll have a cashless society. Wow, that was a very big, interesting story, because we've been talking here about everything right now moving cashless. And even last year, last week's program, we talked about how Nigeria has launched in a kind of cashless system and made their transactions electronic. And now we are seeing that movement coming up. And this is very much interesting for end-time Bible prophecy fulfillment, because we know that the system of the world and the system of the Antichrist, which is being formed now, requires such system of a cashless system. Because for everything, let me say, for money to be monitored, surveilled, and controlled, it needs something like that. So the Australian government came up officially and they have opened up and said by 2030, we shall have a cashless system.
Okay, but they are going to be alone in that, because there is a lot of resistance to this. Because what it takes is the central bank digital currency, the CBDCs, of which there have been resistance to it. And then they also want to link it with the health, of which next month in May, there's going to be that vote at the World Health Organization of all their 180 member countries to vote on whether they are going to give WHO so many absolute far-reaching powers to override any national constitution. In which they declare a pandemic and they tell the country how to handle it and how to, what medicines, and so on, without that country having to consent. Now, that is, but there's resistance for that as well. The resistance, first of all, is has come from the US state of, what state was that? Tennessee, I think, which came up with a law saying that they are not going to accept that World Health Organization thing. Now, so
Louisiana,
many other states.
Louisiana.
Now, so many other states in America, including I think even Tennessee, have come up with similar laws in which now World Health Organization, Biden can go and sign, but we in the state are not going to be compliant to World Health Organization and their medical tyrannies. And in other countries as well, okay, where it is, there's a lot of resistance to it. And all it needs, the previous time by the African countries are the ones which stood up against it. And I think even now African countries might stand up against it, and it will flop, because it cannot happen. If it happens, that's the end of freedom as we once knew it. But then they want to tie your vaccination status to your finance. So you have to be connected to, you have to, it shows your, the same thing they tried with the vaccine passports. But the thing they have which is going against them is that they were trying to create vaccine passports over COVID. Now, it has been found out clearly by now scientists all over the world, the latest was from Japan, that COVID was a complete hoax manufactured by America in a laboratory in Wuhan with the help of that man, that imp, Anthony Fauci, and spread around for the purpose of getting people vaccinated with a vaccine which, for the most part, had a lot of bad, terrible side effects. And like I said, last time many Ugandans survived the side effects because they got AstraZeneca, which was a weak vaccine from India. But if they had gotten Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson or Moderna, there has been a lot of complaints. So now be very, very, very careful. Be very careful about these things where suddenly, every day, the Ministry of Health is releasing new vaccines. Be very careful. You have your bodily autonomy according to anything, even according to the law. You're the one who decides what goes into your body. Okay? If the government can force you to vaccinate, then as well, they can rape you. Because rape is you violating somebody's body, you know, ownership of their body. Okay? So, so we have to be very careful about that. And I have to send this out very, very clearly. Now, moving away from that, if all this medical tyranny fails, and it is going to fail. And because mostly people realized COVID was fake, even the disease itself, there was a lot of fakeness. Now, like in the southern hemisphere, like in our countries, like the whole hula baloo, people are dying. Like it was all rubbish. It was all rubbish. Because now even the people who was the top World Health Organization said COVID is like a normal flu.
Recently.
Now, recently. After locking people down and so on, now they are saying it's like a normal flu. So now, are you going to allow that same World Health Organization? Our country is going to allow that same World Health Organization to decide when to lock people down again, yet they locked people down over a flu by their now admission, like a normal flu. So you see, there is a lot of desire in tyranny. Why? This is all rooted in spirituality. Because you see, some people don't understand the mark of the beast and where we are going in all of this. They wonder, why would people want to just, why can't they just let people be in peace? They can't. The devil wants to take away everybody's liberty and put people in some kind of concentration camp. That's how they are going to give the mark of the beast, when you have no choice. You have, you've already taken 50 vaccines for everything. And now they say the next one now is the mark of the beast. And you've already, they have already prepared your mind earlier for all this, and they make you think that now you're compliant. The way it was with some people, I went for my vaccine, I went for, and they think they are intelligent, and yet they are, you know, they are being lied, lied to. So, Derek.
Yes, I, you know, and I was seeing how, for example, in our own country here, this current vaccination drive that is going on of, you know, yellow fever, and I was seeing in Bukoma and Simbi, you know, thankfully, we've come out, and I remember during COVID winter, before the vaccination had arrived, you were already standing against, you know, this tyranny. And I was seeing how in Bukoma and Simbi, even medical workers themselves, it's in the news, even medical workers themselves are refusing to take it because they are very suspicious of why is there a push for a disease which we've never seen. I mean, you'll grow up and grow old without ever seeing this disease that you
Let
know.
Let me add, interject briefly as you continue. From 2014 to 2024, only 5,000 cases of yellow fever
have been registered. But now everybody must get it. But what was even more interesting is that when the government now realized that there was a reluctance, a hesitancy from medical workers and even, you know, teachers, because they're even vaccinating in schools, what they did is they now threatened to remove them from the payroll. So you get jabbed, it's attached to your national ID, you know, status. And so now they know that you either took or you didn't take. I mean, it's just tyranny, like you're saying, because how do you remove someone from a payroll over their right to reject, you know, medical help? Because it's their right. You're offering you what you're calling medical help, but they don't, because they know, they saw what happened in COVID, because you're speaking about Europe. Greece is competing with Japan now in low birth rates. It's like they set up, because of, you know, all young people are dying of sudden, you know, that sudden death syndrome, blood clots and all of that. So everybody's now awake. And I think that tyranny has come to its end, at least for now. And that World Health Organization bill that, you know, they want to vote on in May, I think it's going to collapse, because now nations, and the citizens especially, you know, because the people, the leaders in the nations may be for it, but the citizens have really stood up against the tyranny. And I was just impressed by that, that at least people now are awake, you know, even even our nation here.
You see, the problem is some people, and this has been an issue for us, some Africans thinking that there are some bazungu out there who are doing things for your good, for your benefit. They want you to be healthier and live for 150 years and so on. Yet they want your minerals and they want what? And you're just gobbling up everything they come with you. Of course, they use a lot of money in the Ministry of Health, and that money is used to do so many things. But we are not telling you don't get vaccinated. But we are not telling you get vaccinated. We are just telling you be very careful. Because I have heard myself, the people who are pushing for these vaccines and who are paying for them, themselves, their children are not vaccinated. And I said myself that if I was president and I found out that this vaccine, the best thing to do is I call all the people at the Ministry of Health who have been pushing for the vaccines and tell them to all bring their families and say, we are not going to sentence you to anything else. We are just going to get your biological children and inject these very vaccines which you've been in, forcing other people's children to get. We are going to give it to your children. That's all the sentence. You will see how they will weep and mourn. Because they don't give it to their children. I know that for a fact. They mandate it for other people's children, not theirs. Okay? So now I know that for a fact. So now we'll just say, no, it's okay. You know what? Just bring your children. we give them, after all, you said it was safe and effective, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so bring your children, let's give them this safe and effective vaccine.
And you pick a random one.
No, we'll get the ones which they are sending up country, and give it to them. And, you know, yeah, that's because this, the tyranny, the medical tyranny, and now when it finds people like our people here, oh my God, these ones here for just a few hundreds of thousands of dollars, they will just sell all of you.
Yeah.
And then some of them pretend to be Christians, and then on Sunday they will go to All Saints Church or whichever church, and they're even given front seats, and they are killing people's children, okay? They are mass murderers, and they are pretending, okay? Now, their judgment is coming. Their judgment is coming, because then they threaten people who are standing up to protect other people's children.
Moving you from payroll.
Yeah. Now, me, my children are not going to get that vaccine. Yeah, and I'm not going to mandate it for anyone's children.
Yes.
Because mine are not going to get, neither am I.
Yes.
Okay? I got some vaccine a long time ago, before vaccines were messed up.
Yes.
But now,
the real vaccine.
Vaccines are now about population control. If you're lucky, you get infertility.
Yes.
That means you reach, a lady reaches a age of giving birth, she struggles to get pregnant. Do you know how many pregnancies are being lost in the first or second months right now? So many. There's a lot of people losing their babies in the first or second month of pregnancy after the COVID vaccine. That is a fact across the world. Across the world, that is a fact, okay? Which has been pointed out by top scientists. Then there's a very, like for the first time in the world since COVID vaccine, the population of the world has started reducing. And that has never happened. The only time, the last time it happened is in the 1300s during the, what they call the bubonic plague, which they called the plague, which wiped out almost a third of Europe. That was the last time populations of the world were reducing. After that, they have been increasing steadily every year. Until they rolled out the COVID vaccine. Now, populations of the world are started reducing. It almost topped at 8 billion, and now is reducing. I want you people to be wise. Don't be stupid. Be wise. Look at these things and understand them wisely. Okay? At the conference, I told people that you listen to me, because me, we do a lot of research on these things. We don't just talk things we don't know. Although some people make you look like I talk things I don't know. But it's okay if you think I talk things I don't know. You go and get all those things. Go and get all those vaccines, and we shall see who is clever. Now, so all this is about population control, either infertility or actually people dying. In Europe, all top coroners, all top funeral houses are saying that the rate at which people are dying is alarming. And it was never experienced before mid-2021. What happened in mid-2021? COVID vaccines. Now, they come to Africa because Africans did not get the COVID vaccines. We actually were only 6% vaccinated on the African continent. That's why we had the least COVID deaths on the African continent. But now they say we are like that's not what they planned, because we are the ones who are supposed to die first before even the Wazungu die. Although even them, they have been allotted to death. So what do? They come up with a malaria vaccine, and they go through your Ministry of Death. Okay, then they come up with whatever vaccine. Now there is going to be vaccine after rubella, measles, rubella, what sicknesses which people have never even seen. There is going to be vaccine. There is a vaccine of cervical cancer. Of everything, except for measles, rubella. What? Now, there is going to be vaccine after vaccine after vaccine, and they are going to be going through schools. Now, people have got to go and tell the headmaster that if you dare vaccinate my child without my consent, if you were there when I was making that child with my wife, then we shall tell, but don't play games with my child. Because they just come and bamboozle headmaster. Some of them are even given money, and they go and vaccinate all the children. There's a friend of mine who went and the son was vaccinated. He's now suffering from side effects. This is somebody whom I know. The child is suffering from side effects from this yellow fever. So now I want everybody to understand that we have a responsibility to watch what goes into our bodies. And sometimes we shall even take it up to foods. Because even foods have been messed
up. Actually, you're speaking about food. Bill Gates actually plans to actually introduce this mRNA vaccine into animals.
Mm.
So what they want is, you will not take it directly on your body. But what they will do is, you'll take it in the meat you eat.
Mm.
So that's what they are beginning to ferment right now in their wherever. But what we are saying is, people should be very careful. Food you eat, everything almost. But of course, not being scared of it, but being careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because also people can receive this message from different fronts.
And then other people just go and pump them with a lot of fear. No,
yes.
Just be a bit careful. And by the way, let me tell you, we are lucky because we eat food from our farms and what.
Yes.
You're going to buy matoke or eat millet or whatever it is that you're going to eat from. We know we don't eat a lot of packaged foods.
No.
Because what has happened, these people who are after population control have bought a lot of packaged food companies.
Yeah.
Even Heinz, the tomato sauce, has been bought by Bill Gates.
Mm.
You think he's buying it for business or making profit?
No.
He wants to do something inside there. And that's the most used tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, all animal feeds will eventually have it.
Mm.
And then you'll be feeding your animals with it.
Yeah.
Then to go through your animals, then the meat you eat has it. And then the next thing, you're also suffering from infertility. You cannot give birth when you want to give birth to children.
Mm.
Or even maybe you start becoming sickly and things like that. So there's a lot of, if people only knew, and you know the people say conspiracy theory. Now I'll tell you this, of course those are people who pretend to be intelligent, but they actually, in my opinion, they are the most stupid people. And then when somebody says conspiracy theory, it's as if they behave as if there is no conspiracy. And it is there. Now seeing climate change, do you know what has been happening? In states like California in America, especially cities like San Diego, they were doing what is called blocking of planes go and pump some gas in the atmosphere. They run planes across and they pump gas in the atmosphere to cause a deliberate climate change.
Mm.
Then they say that it's man-made climate change. There is no man-made climate change. It's a hoax.
No.
And now Africans have picked it up. Everything, climate change. You know, we never ever think things on our own.
Yeah.
Now, some states in America, one state, I think, what state was it? I think either Louisiana again or Tennessee, one of those Republican states, went and passed a law which stops those blockers from pumping air into the gas to cause changes in temperature and so on. Because people were not seeing the sun. They come and pump what, then suddenly the whole atmosphere changes. People are not seeing the sun. So now certain states in America have gone in the direction of stopping it.
Yeah.
And because it was going all across.
Mm.
And all these things are happening in the world. They're happening in Europe where people are seeing planes coming and leaving a lot of gases, and suddenly the weather changes.
Mm.
And previously, you had even Bill Gates saying that they are planning to block the sun to curb climate change.
Yeah.
What they're actually trying to do is to make their climate change hoax have an appearance of reality. So they are trying to block the sun, because the sun is like after man and the sun is the greatest thing that God invented, because it gives forth light, it gives forth energy, it's like just a wonderful creation of God. And as long as it's there, there is life. It gives life to animals, to human beings, to everybody. And now the few places where they have sun for a very short time, for the short time they have sun, you see how happy they are when they see it. For us, we take it for granted because we have it across the year. But now there are places I have been to where it only appears for like 2 months. And you see everybody so happy because they are seeing the sun and so on. Now they want to block the sun. That's how wicked these people are. And is this a conspiracy theory? You can believe it if you think it is. But it is happening because even states in America are stopping, are passing laws to stop it. So now everything has been turned around because a certain people from the cabinet of the God of this world are planning to turn everything around and control human beings for the purpose of putting them in the mark of the beast.
I totally agree, because you see, the other thing the sun also does, it actually gives purpose.
Yeah.
Because it says, the sun is there for telling of times, you know, and seasons, you know.
Yes.
And that's something you cannot, because when you're asleep, you're saying, I'll wake, you know, let me wait for the sun to rise. It's something you look forward to, you know. And when they go ahead and do that, that obviously is, you know, what the devil intends. Can you mention something about fear, you know?
Yes.
People can hear all of this and there's a lot of fear. But the thing is, that scripture, Luke 21, that says in verse 28 that when you see these things that we're speaking about begin to happen,
yes,
says that look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near, you know? And the time for our redemption is now, because from the time the eclipse happened on 8th, you know, few days later, Iran, a major sign, because they are signs, but then they are super signs.
Yes.
Iran and attacks Israel. That's a super sign,
yes,
of the season that now we have entered into as a church.
Yes.
So I believe that now the church should prepare itself for its redemption, you know,
yes,
to actually now rise, yes, to the place, the estate, mm-hmm, that the Lord has prepared for us.
I think that is there, because people can receive it from, like, the way when you teach about rapture and the coming of the Lord, that on how it's so soon, one, and now there is darkness in the earth and all that, one group of people can receive it from the escapist mentality, that now let's just go and leave the earth. And but now for us, the end time church, the end time believer, you actually now see what that scripture you quoted and say, that it's actually now our time to arise. And it's actually our time to make sure we take over. Like, it's now, this is a sign for us, showing us that we are supposed to actually arise and actually take over them, because they have been given to our hands. Like what God tells Cain, that if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not, sin lies at the door. And then he says, but you should rule over it. So we are supposed to actually rule here, as the scripture has promised, that as in this end time we are the dominant force, we are supposed to be on top of everything. We should make sure that us as a church, when we see all these signs, the globalist agenda, the new world order agenda, and all this arising, we are supposed to say that now this has presented itself to us to take it over.
Okay, now, as the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted, established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he shall walk in his paths. Now, for this to happen, of course, as I told you, it says before, because it says, for in Zion shall go forth the law and the word of God from Jerusalem. You see, what has happened is God has let people see what the systems of the world have for them. You see, now people, as they look and at, even people who have, if you read, you know, on social media and all that, even people who don't believe in God, they have seen the world has let them down. There was a time they could swear by the worldless systems. You know, do this, our government has done that. They had trust in their governments, they had trust in their systems, because some of them have lived in functional governments and systems. But now all of them are totally disillusioned. And they know that none of that is going to work. Now that's when they start flowing to the mountain of the Lord's house. Because the only solutions are going to be here, where we are. Because you've tried your things and it has failed. The people whom you've trusted want to kill you. Okay? And the systems you've trusted are falling apart in front of your eyes. So now you have to come to the mountain of the Lord's house. This is where it ends. And then they come to us, and then this is the redemption. Because the redemption has to happen here before it happens, us going. Because it's the redemption of redemption draws nigh. The redemption even of the world, where the church comes as the redeemer of the world and shows people that there is a better solution. We go to our God, he has a solution for you. For him, he has good plans for you. He's not planning to destroy you all with 100 vaccines which you don't need.
Yes.
And then to lock you up in your country and in your place, you can't move. And basically you become just an object rather than a human being with freedoms. And that's what the devil wants and the new world order wants. But we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Watchman. We shall be with you again next weekend. Don't forget, somewhere in, is it in Sambia or Kabaragara? I think both. But anyway, from near the American embassy, opposite Mukwaya Hospital in that road coming from Kabaragara going up to the American embassy, that's where the Watchman Fellowship is every Friday. We invite you all to come and we teach you how to be an end-time believer. That means how to be a believer ready for these times that we are talking about. God bless you all. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555, or +256 755 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.